Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Indiana Sports Now with Kent Sterling. It's Tuesday, February 16th, 2021. We're brought to you by the great people at Today's Dentistry. Dr. Mike O'Neill, you know what he's doing right now? He's helping people, Indiana people, live a better life through better dental health. Even with the weather being what it is, the roads being what they are, he's in the office working. He wants you to live a better life, like I said, through better dental health. Take control of your dental health today. Let's talk about the quarterback situation with the Indianapolis Colts, and then we're going to hear from Miles Turner about the Draymond Green comments regarding the double standard for franchises and players in the NBA. We're going to talk about that, and we'll hear from Miles Turner. All right, we've talked a lot about Carson Wentz. I've talked about Carson Wentz more than I ever thought I was going to talk about Carson Wentz in my life. Same thing with Sam Darnold. Look, Carson Wentz has a bad contract. And so the Colts are going to be able to get him cheap if they get him. That's the key to Carson Wentz, is not spending a lot of draft capital and a lot of human capital on a quarterback who may or may not have any bullets left in the chamber. Sam Darnold is still on his rookie contract, so it's going to cost to extract him from the Jets in a way that Carson Wentz, it's not likely to cost. All right? That's assuming that everybody plays ball in the way that they should. Chris Ballard, we know this about Chris Ballard, the general manager of the Colts. He is not going to make a bad deal. He is not going to act in desperation. He never does. He never will. He is always going to deal from a place of confidence and from strength. You're not going to get him to live in despair and die there. It's just not going to happen. So Chris Ballard is going to tell the Eagles what he would give up for Carson Wentz. He's going to tell the Jets, assuming he has interest in Sam Darnold, what he would give up for Darnold. These two guys, among the worst starting quarterbacks in the NFL this past year, Darnold just a shade worse than Carson Wentz. The question with Darnold is this. Darnold plays for a terrible team. Was Darnold bad because the Jets were terrible? Or were the Jets bad because Darnold was terrible? It's a chicken and the egg, and we really don't know one way or the other. I got an idea. Let's throw both those two guys out. Let's not talk about those two guys anymore. Heard him on ESPN talking about Jeff Saturday and the guys talking about how the Colts become a Super Bowl contender with Carson Wentz. Let's talk about what they would become if they had Derek Carr as their starting quarterback. If they hooked up a deal with John Gruden to get Derek Carr from the Raiders. Derek Carr last year, 8-8, his best year as a pro. He looked really good. He's always had the strong arm. He's always been kind of quick-footed. He does a lot of things right. He hasn't won a bunch, but the Raiders weren't very good last year. The Raiders are going to be better moving forward, and Carr has a really team-friendly cap number for the next 2 years, about $19 million. So if the Colts went out and got Carr, they would save a lot of money against the cap compared to what they spent last year in the quarterback position. They spent $25 million for Rivers, about $15 million or so for Brissett, and then another $6 million on Andrew Luck, the final payment on Andrew Luck. No more checks coming from Jimmy Irsay for Andrew Luck, and it's about damn time, right? I would much rather pay quarterbacks who are actually interested in playing for you than paying quarterbacks who have no interest in playing football again. I don't know how that happened. Wouldn't that be wonderful if you could quit your job and get something in the neighborhood of $26 million for walking away? Wouldn't that be nice? Anyway, Derek Carr, I don't know what it would cost to get Derek Carr from the Las Vegas Raiders. Almost said Oakland. But Derek Carr is an interesting guy, and if somehow you could pry him away from the Raiders, he might look nice in a Colts uniform. I don't know that he fits the culture with the Colts. I don't know that Derek Carr is that kind of a guy. I guess we're going to find out. But when you look at the draft and you look at guys like Trevor Lawrence, who the Colts are never going to be able to get ever, ever, ever. You look at Zach Wilson from BYU. You look at Justin Fields from Ohio State, Trey Lance from North Dakota State University, and then Mac Jones from Alabama. And you're talking about five quarterbacks who are projected by some to be selected in the first 15 picks. Which means that the Colts, if they had their eye on any of those guys, they got to trade up. And in order to get one of the first three, you've probably got to trade into the top five, which is a complete block. That's a Quentin Nelson pulling from the left side to the right side and pancaking a guy type block. Because Chris Ballard is never going to give up that kind of draft inventory in order to get a single guy. It's just not going to happen. You don't know whether that guy's going to pan out. If you trade a first-round pick, the 21st overall pick for a guy like Wentz, and you have confidence that Frank Reich can bring him back from the dead, or the 21st pick and something else for Derek Carr, you know what? Maybe that works. Because Derek Carr is in ascension. You look at him statistically at the age of 29 last year, his best year statistically, not in terms of the record for the Raiders, but statistically, really a good year for Derek Carr. And he looked terrific the entire year. We'll see what happens. It's all going to happen, and all of this talk is going to be rendered obsolete in a moment. As soon as the crawl on ESPN says, breaking news, Indianapolis Colts trade 21st overall pick and a third rounder for whomever. Whatever it winds up being, all of this work to learn everything about Carson Wentz and about Sam Darnold and a little bit about Mitch Trubisky, who would be a really good backup, by the way. Derek Carr, others. Look, and here's the reason they got to trade for a guy, because here are the free agents, the best of the quarterback free agents in this free agency class. All right, you got guys like Andy Dalton. All right, Dak Prescott, who isn't going anywhere. He's going to be with the Cowboys. Jameis Winston, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Cam Newton, and Mitch Trubisky. The aforementioned Mitch Trubisky. You want any of those guys? You want to go into Jim Irsay's office and say, hey, Jim, I got the guy who's going to lead us to multiple championships. The multiple championships that you have promised is the stated goal of this franchise. It is Andy Dalton. You don't want to have that conversation. Other than Dak Prescott, you don't want to bring any of those names into Jim Irsay's office. Or you're going to risk losing your job. And if you trade significant draft capital to get Carson Wentz and he turns out to be a stiff, look, this is a guy with a surgically reconstructed ACL and he's had back issues. He had a concussion. He's been injury prone throughout his career. You dump a bunch of draft picks to the Eagles and Wentz can't play, you got a problem. You go get Darnold. And Darnold plays for the Colts in the way he played for the Jets. And I know that he played for Adam Gase. And Adam Gase was not good with Ryan Tannehill either. And so Tannehill goes to the Titans, plays well. So everybody thinks that that's what's going to happen with Sam Darnold. Because Tannehill languished in Miami under Adam Gase. The next guy who played for Adam Gase has been tainted by him, and all it's going to take is him playing someplace else, and all of a sudden the light's going to go on. He's going to be terrific. You want to make that case? You want to stake your career? Whatever your career is in, let's say you're in pharmaceutical sales. If the Colts go out and they get Sam Darnold and Sam Darnold winds up being the same guy he's been with the Jets, you lose your pharmaceutical sales job. Do you want that? You don't want that. And that's the decision that Chris Ballard's got to make. He's putting his career on the line this offseason trying to justify making the deal to get the guy to shepherd this franchise forward in a way that Phillip Rivers couldn't. And Phillip Rivers wasn't terrible, leading the Colts to an 11-5 record, ranked somewhere around 16th, 17th in the NFL in a lot of statistical categories. We know he's a rag arm and he can't move his feet. We know that, but you know what? He had a microprocessor up here, and what he had left in the arm was enough to get it there accurately and on time and give guys an opportunity for yak. That's who Phillip Rivers was for the Colts in 2020. Not an awful quarterback. So that's where the Colts are in terms of their pursuit of a quarterback. I keep watching ESPN hoping that something's going to happen or that somebody's going to tell me something I don't already know, and they never do. That's ESPN. What are you going to do? Let's talk about Draymond Green for a minute. So after the game last night, unprompted, Draymond Green says a bunch of stuff about how there's a double standard in the NBA, that James Harden, he said, was castrated. I don't think he meant to use that word, because he dogged it in his final days with the Houston Rockets. And nobody denies that, Draymond Green said. Now you've got Andre Drummond, who's going to be traded by the Cleveland Cavaliers, and Cleveland isn't going to play him because Cleveland doesn't want him to get hurt and screw up a deal that is going to bring them either draft picks or human cargo the other way. All right, players in exchange for Drummond. So what Draymond said is that Drummond is being embarrassed by the NBA and that there's a double standard. When a player wants out, he's a malcontent. When a team wants to dump a player, they can be seen as shrewd. So we asked Miles Turner about this. Here's what Miles had to say.
You know, Kent, I think that's a player by player question. You know, I think that's something that, you know, not one person can, you know, speak for everybody. I think in the case Draymond was talking about, that was a situational thing. And, you know, with the situation that's going on in the leagues with some of these players, stuff like that, I think some of the situations are messed up. And, you know, players have to be able to, you know, voice their opinions and have to be able to go amongst their, you know, certain situations, however they want to do it, without all the backlash. You know, because in the day, we do pay for these, you know, multi-million dollar organizations. And no matter what they do, you know, it's never like looked back on or you know, look frowned upon, anything like that. With players, it's a different situation. We look at it as spoiled because we get paid a certain amount of money to the general public. And no matter what decision we make, you know, it's going to come back on us, whether it's good, whether it's bad. So everybody's going to have their opinions no matter what we do. But it's a situational thing. And I think Draymond did the right thing, stepping up and talk about it, because it's something that, you know, some people are afraid to speak on. So more power to him, more power to the players in the league. I've always been about that. But, you know, I don't want to say anything to cause controversy or stir up anything. It's a situational thing.
That's Miles Turner. And so here's what I have to say. Players are employees. Teams are employers. Employers are always going to make the rules. That's just the way it is. And that's the way it's always been. It's the way it's always going to be. Where NBA players get a little bit confused. In the case of a guy like Draymond Green, who's made, at the end of the contract that he's currently working through, he's going to have made about $200 million, just short of that. Andre Drummond is being paid $28 million this year, the fifth year of a five-year deal. Made a lot of money playing basketball as an employee of NBA franchises, Pistons and now the Cavaliers. So that's the way this works. And here's where kind of the rubber meets the road, is in the fact that the people who come to the games and the people who watch on television, these people are living month to month and sacrificing in order to show up, in order to watch them play basketball and fund this machine that brings so much incredible wealth to owners, to management, and to players. And to be so blind that you don't understand that people living paycheck to paycheck, trying to make their mortgage payment, right? Trying not to have their car repossessed, trying to put food on the table, maybe successful enough to try to sock away enough money that their kids can go to college. You start talking about how employers are mistreating employees while that employee is making $28 million a year, there is going to be a disconnect, and that gap, that disconnect gap between players and between those who consume that product will continue to widen. And that's not a good thing for the NBA. Not good at all. If we look at them and see players as not thankful for their lot in life, we're going to have less and less tolerance and enthusiasm for their product. And that's a problem. And Draymond Green doesn't get that. I don't know if Miles does. I get it, though. You know, I understand these guys. What they do, they employ people, too. So they see the world through their kind of tunnel vision. They're employers of employees while being employees and while being independent contractors in a number of other ways. It's very confusing, and I totally get it. But the NBA and the players need to realize how lucky they are. That's an important distinction. Tomorrow morning, breakfast with Ken, bright and early, early tomorrow, I think 6 o'clock in the morning. I cannot wait to talk to you then, brought to you by the great people at Today's Dentistry.